Well, today, being August the 21st, 2022, we're going to start lesson number 9. Lesson number 9 in this series of lessons, Where Is Your Church Going? Today's lesson is entitled, The Profile of a Healthy Believer. The Profile of a Healthy Believer. It's good to see Brandy back with us today. Appreciate you getting to come back today. Amen. And I understand you trusted Christ as your Savior Thursday night. That's great. You trusted Christ as your Savior Thursday night.
Yes.
Yeah, amen. That's great. And Trish got the leader to Christ, and man, we're glad about that. And God's been faithful, amen. God's good. And I want to give you this lesson today to help you to grow in the Lord Jesus. Now, our lesson today is going to be from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. Verses 7 through 16. Now, there are going to be other verses we're going to have you turn to, but I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. This is our theme verse today. And here Paul writes to Timothy, and he says this. He said, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." I remember Lester Roloff. He used to read that verse. He'd say, "The Bible says, bodily exercise profiteth little." And you know how skinny he was and everything. And he said, he'd hold up his arms like he, and he'd say, but it profiteth. But you know what? Bodily exercise is one thing. Spiritual exercise is something that we all really need. And listen to what the rest of the verse says. It says, "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." You know, outside of one's own salvation, when we trust Christ as our own personal Savior, our spiritual growth as a child of God now is in our personal obedience unto God. That is one of the greatest exercises we can ever perform in our lives. We need to put it into action. It is an essential for Christian growth. It is essential for having a victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this. You know the devil is going to try to do all that he can do to steal your victory. You know that, right? You understand how the devil is going to do everything he can do to discourage you and to just disorient you in the things of this life. But listen, our faith in Jesus Christ provides us joy, salvation, victory over sin, and we are able to know Christ, and we ought to be thankful for that. But the joy is being able to grow for Him. When our children were born, okay, I think one weighed 7'12", and one weighed 7'10½", or something like that. But you know what? We would always try to get them to the doctor's offices and make sure that they were growing. Because if they were not growing, there was something wrong with our children. And we wanted to make sure that there was nothing wrong. And if there was something wrong, we wanted to be able to be there to help that child overcome whatever the problem was and be able to help them to grow. Now, my son now, he's bigger than I am. Our daughter, she's fine. You know, she's got children all of her own self. But you know what? Watching them grow up has been a blessing. To help them to try to learn to live for God is a blessing. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow in His image. In the life that He has given unto us, He wants us to grow. In our modern day world of convenience and blessing today, most churches are filled with weak and anemic Christians that could not tell you what to do in order to go to heaven. They don't read their Bibles. They don't live for God. They're just struggling. I mean, they're just struggling. There's no... One fellow put it this way. He said, "They bear leaves of profession, but they bear no fruit of possession." They bear leaves of profession, but they bear no fruit of possession. I've always wondered why a Bradford pear tree is called a Bradford pear tree. Now, you can plant them, and they grow up really quick, and they get real big and bushy looking and, you know, provide a lot of shade until the storms come around and the winds come and the lightning flashes and all these other, the hard rains come, and those are the very first trees that hit the ground, broken all to pieces. The limbs are all broke off. They're shattered everywhere. And you know what? Sadly today, that's what's happening in a lot of churches. They bear leaves. They look good. Got big numbers and all these other big things. They've got leaves of profession, but they bear no fruit of possession. They're not telling anybody about Jesus. I tried to give a gospel tract to somebody, and they said, well, we already go to church. I said, well, that's great. Amen. Where do you go to church at? Well, that's my business. Sorry. I thought, you know, we're brothers in Christ here, you know. I'm just going to have some fellowship. You know, it's not often that you get to have fellowship with people that you go out and you meet and you don't know what's going to happen. And I thought, man, I'd just love to have some fellowship with another believer in Christ. Congratulate him and encourage him, you know, and strengthen him in the Lord. But boy, you don't see that today. And today, as we look at this lesson, I want us to look at some things. Last Sunday, we saw how that Paul warned Timothy. Look at chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I want you to see this. The Bible said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But then look in verse number 6. Paul reminds Timothy here. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. In other words, Timothy's job as a good minister of Jesus Christ was to put the people to whom he ministered, those folks to which he taught the scriptures and tried to help them, he was to put them in remembrance of God's word. Of God's word. It was to ever be before them and to be a strength and encouragement to them. I watched a video Thursday night after we came back home from school, from church, wherever we were at Thursday night. And I sat down, Pastor, I had sent him a video that was on YouTube about some of the issues that are going on in our country today in churches. And it was about sodomy and how it is being accepted in many, many churches now across the United States. And he sent me in turn a video about this charismatic thing about the speaking in tongues and the laughing and the all this other stuff that they're doing now. But what they were doing, this video was about an hour long, and my wife and I sat there and watched it. And what they've done, they have taken and they have utilized what they call extra-biblical revelations. Things that these people are seeing in their minds, okay? And they're preaching those things, and they're not applying the Word of God at all. Why, now you don't even have to bring a Bible. You don't have to worry about that, because I'll give you what you need to hear, they say. And they'll tell you, because God has spoken to me, because I'm a prophet, okay? And these folks, they had a woman standing there, supposed to be the guest preacher at this church. They had video clips of it. And she was drunk, okay, in the spirit. And all she did was walk around crazy and laughed and giggled and fell on the floor and looked like she was in a seizure. And everybody's around supposedly praising God and all these things. And they get up and say, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Spirit. Folks, the Word of God does not teach anything close to that. The Bible teaches that on the day of Pentecost, some 18 or 19 different nations heard the Word of God. Those people that were gathered in Jerusalem, read it in Acts chapter 2. They proclaimed, how is this great miracle coming to pass? Man, we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in our own tongue wherein we were born. They understood it. It was not this chicken cackle stuff, and they're laying on the floor, slain in the Spirit and drunken in the Spirit. And these folks on this video proclaimed that they have 30-some million attendees in their churches like this now, and it is growing faster than you can imagine. Folks, if we don't stay in the Word of God, and if pastors don't preach the Word of God and be good ministers of the Word of God, this world is going to remain lost, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And folks, Paul is reminding Timothy here that he had a job to do. That job was to nourish up those people in his church. They would be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, and he was to do this without ceasing. He was to continue to do it. He was to be faithful in warning the people of the devil's deceptions. He was to be faithful in making sure the people understood that these folks that were teaching false doctrine were only tools of Satan to sow discord and confusion within the family, within the body of Christ, within the local church. You see, God's intent for His church is that we'll take heed to His Word, and that we will desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. That's how we grow. And it's not, the devil wants us to be spiritually compromised. He wants to defeat us, but God wants to give us victory. And we have that through the Word of God, through the promises of the Word of God. God's desire is for you and me to be healthy, vibrant, born again children of God. Just like you want your children to be healthy and vibrant and learning to trust you and obey your word, God wants His children to do the very same thing. That's why we have church. That's why we preach. And that's why we want today, when we look at this lesson, I want you to understand the purpose of it. There is a profile. There is a way of living that you and I ought to be living in this world today as believers, as born-again believers. Now, let me help you understand something too. There are people today that come back and say, oh, I believe in God. We know James said the devils believe in God and they tremble. You know, the devils were all there on the day that Jesus died, was beaten and crucified. They rejoiced to see Him hanging dead upon that cross. But you know what? 3 days later, when hell was defeated, Satan was defeated, Jesus took the keys of death and hell and the grave away from Satan. You know what? The devils are trying to do everything within their power to say, well, listen, if we've got to spend eternity separated from God in hell, then I'm going to make sure as many people are going to be there with me as I can. And that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to deceive folks. And people, listen to me today. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to be victorious in that. We have to exercise in the Word of God. Now, many folks don't like to exercise, okay? It just gets to be a burden, okay? But you know what? Listen, exercise profiteth, okay? Physical exercise profiteth, and spiritual exercise profiteth. And I want you to see how that's done. Look what he said here. He's reminding them here, beginning in verse number 7, to exercise ambitiously. To exercise ambitiously. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, he warns them with these words. He says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, how were they to do this effectively? How are they to do this, be able to do it consistently? You know, everybody starts a new diet program the 1st of January, right? And by the 3rd of January, it's over, okay? It's done. Yeah. How do you exercise ambitiously, okay? How do you do that and keep it up? Well, number one, you have to have the right focus. You have to have the right focus. And look what the Bible said. Verse 7. They were to profane and not listen to. They were to put off. They were to stay away from false doctrine and made up stories about religion referred to by the Apostle Paul here in verse number 7 as profane and old wives' fables. They used to sit around and just tell stories, okay? And instead of placing their focus on the things of the world that proved only to be false doctrine and unright teaching, unbiblical teaching, they needed to place their focus on the things of God and to exercise themselves rather unto godliness instead of ungodliness. They needed to get their focus on the right thing. This coming Wednesday night, we begin our next session of the Soul Winners Club training program in person. Amen? In person. We're not doing it through Zoom. We're going to be downstairs doing it just like we always did before, in person. And you know what? This is one of the ways that you can exercise your faith and exercise yourself unto godliness. Because as you come into that class, you can learn how that you can take the Word of God and hide it within your heart so that you might be able to freely share the message of the gospel with anybody and everybody that you come in contact with. That's what we need to do. We need to get our focus on the right things of God. Folks, our lives are to be boldly and radiantly reflecting the salvation that God has given to us. We're to reflect His love. We're to reflect His character in all that we do. But we cannot do that apart from God's Word. And it's like I told you last week, the moon is a ball of dust. That's all it is. It's pitted. It's been hit by asteroids. It's been hit by meteorites. It's been through a mess. But it's still faithful to rotate around this earth. And you know what the most amazing thing is? Is that it is faithful to reflect that light in the darkest of nights that the world cannot see. And I look at it at night. I love where we live because there are no streetlights. I can go out and I can see the stars. I can take my telescope out and look at the moon and all these other things. And I love to do that. But that moon is reflecting an unseen light in the darkness of night. And folks, that is exactly what you and I are to be doing in this present Christian life. We are to reflect the light of God's love and His character. And we're to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He had His eyes on you and on me when He went to the cross. I want you to look over in the book of Hebrews just a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Hebrews chapter number 12. I want you to look at verses 2, 3, and 4. Here the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Listen, Jesus looked beyond the shame of Calvary. And you know what he saw? He saw you. And he saw me. And when he saw you and he saw me, deserving of separation from God for all eternity, deserving to be cast into the fires of hell for all eternity, he said, I'm going to go on. And he set his mind, he set his heart to the cross. He did that for you. Now listen, if Christ can do that for me, don't you think I can just take the time to keep my eyes on him and live for him? Hey, listen, don't you think you can do the same thing? You can if you keep the right focus. You got to keep the right focus. Many people today are laying up treasures here on earth. I've seen people talking about all the millions they have in the bank and things like that. Right now, I got a kitchen table. Well, it's not in the kitchen. It's in the living room over against the wall. And I've got stacks of things laid on that too, okay, that come in every month, just like you do. And you know what? One of these days, when this old world is burned up and they look at the ashes, they're not going to be able to tell the difference between the ashes of all those millions and millions of dollars that people got stored up in the bank and the ashes of all those bills and payments and invoices that you and I have laying on our kitchen table, okay? They're all going to look the same. They're all going to look the same. The only thing that's going to make a difference is the treasures that you and I have laid up in heaven. The Bible said there in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this to the people. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This past Thursday night, some of our ladies went to visit, and I was here at the school. We had the school meeting, and I sent some of our ladies out to visit with Miss Brandy here. And she'd visited with us this past Sunday. This is April's sister, and I appreciate April bringing her sister. Amen. Sounds like the Bible where Philip was brought, bringing somebody to Jesus. And the Bible said that when people get saved, they want their families to know. And so we sent some of the ladies, I sent some of the ladies out to see Brandy Thursday night, and Trish got to lead her to Christ. And she trusted Christ as her Savior, and praise God for that. Amen. Amen. They left Brandy's house and were walking down the hill, and there was little boys playing down at the bottom of the hill. I think Kathy or somebody, Kathy yelled out to them, hey boys, are your parents home? And yeah, my dad's home. One of the little boys takes them over, and Kathy asked for permission from the dad to be able to share the gospel with the boy. And dad says, no, you can't do that. I don't want that. So Kathy says, well, can I share the gospel with you? He said, no, I don't want to hear nothing like that. Nothing like that. That's fine. They just walk away. And, you know, that's kind of defeating, isn't it? It feels kind of defeating. But they didn't give up. The other little boy was down at his place, and they went down there, and they began to talk to the grandmother. And the grandmother was saved, and she said, well, sure, you can tell them about Jesus. So while they're standing down there, the other little boy walks down, evidently. And while Kathy is telling this little boy about Jesus, whose grandmother gave him permission, the other little boy is listening, but Kathy's not looking over there because she didn't want to upset some parent. But you know what? The little boy over here trusted Christ as his Savior. Now, we don't know about the other little boy yet. He may have heard enough, and he may have prayed and asked Christ to forgive him of his sin and get saved too. But the point is this. Their focus was not on defeat. but it was on the victory that lied ahead, that lies ahead. They were like Jesus. Their eyes saw the shame, the embarrassment, okay? But they saw the right focus, and that little boy trusted Christ as their Savior. And folks, that's what we got to do. We got to have the right focus. Secondly, we got to have a disciplined program. A disciplined program. My wife, I've prayed for her since we got married. The Lord just keep her sweet and you know, honest and all this stuff. And bless the Lord's heart, he's done gone and overdone it. She's got some diabetes problems, okay? And she has to, he's made her too sweet. So she's trying to take care of some of that issue. And she has been on a diet, okay, for several months. And it's just, she's not on any fad or pills or nothing like that. She's just watching her diet, eating correctly. And she still drinks that Dr. Pepper mess, but it, you know, it's cheaper than alimony just to buy a box of Dr. Pepper for her. So anyway, but she has lost a lot of weight. But she has been disciplined into doing what she's done. Her A1C is way down. Her weight is way down, okay? She's wearing dresses that were just stuck in the back of the closet. Now they're cleaned and she can wear them now. And I'm praising God we don't have to worry about buying more or anything like that. If we could work it out where her feet would lose a little weight, that'd be all right now. And she could not have to buy shoes all the time. But listen, she got disciplined about this thing. And she said, you know what? I want to make sure that I'm sticking around. Because the doctor told her, you know, if you don't get it under control, you can suffer problems with it. And so she's been serious about that thing. And she's taken the initiative to say, hey, I'm going to be disciplined in what I do. Paul told Timothy here, he said, you exercise yourself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Physical exercise, listen to me, physical exercise that profits the body takes rigorous discipline and diet, does it not? I mean, you know, while my wife is eating a little piece of this and she's got a big bowl of that over here, and I'm thinking, man, I hate to waste that. I let her be disciplined. She takes care of her diet, and we'll eat what we got to eat, and we'll save the rest of it for the next meal. And you know what? Listen, that's discipline. And she has seen the profit of that. She's lost all that weight. Can you imagine what it would be like if Christians would be disciplined enough to get into the Word of God and start applying what they've read and what they've been taught to their lives, and others around them start noticing, man, there's something different about you. What's different about you? It's Jesus. Man, He saved me. Let me tell you about it. Okay, tell me about it. And that's what He's talking about here. There needs to be a discipline program. But how do you do that? How do you establish a good and godly exercise program? How do you do that? Couple things. Number one, we've got to realize, first of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our source of our strength and stamina to live a good and godly life in the dark world of sin that we live in. Listen to what the Bible said. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hey, listen, if old Simon Peter, the one that denied Jesus, three times he denied Christ, He said, I'll never do that. I'll never do it. I'll die for you, Lord Jesus. And when he denied the Lord that third time, the Bible said that Jesus' eyes caught Simon Peter's eyes. And Simon Peter went out and wept bitterly. If anybody had a right to give up, he had that right. Boy, he had failed the Lord so miserably. But you know what? There was something inside of him. So great salvation that now he writes to others, encouraging them to keep their eyes on Jesus. You got to realize that the Lord Jesus is the one that we get our strength from today. Number two, stay in the book. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God so as to increase your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is that personification of holiness and righteousness. The Lord Jesus is the one. Listen, Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 3. He began there in verse 7. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, all the things I had attained in this old world, they didn't matter a thing to me after I got saved. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Stay in the book. Amen. Number three, look at it. We've got to realize that we have not yet arrived. We're not yet perfect. Okay? We're saved, but we're not yet perfect. And we need to identify those areas of spiritual concern and development in our lives so we can make them better in our lives. Paul wrote again in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? In other words, you need to look at your life and say, listen, I got a problem with this, so I need to stay away from that. I need to search out some scriptures that I can find that will give me strength against this temptation or against that temptation. I need to find some things in the Word of God, and we need to realize that, listen, we're not perfect yet, and we got to continue to grow, but we need to identify those things that keep us from growing for the Lord Jesus. Number four, find yourself another brother or sister in Jesus Christ that can encourage you and that they can encourage you and you can encourage them in growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have church. So we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. How many of you work during the week and you get so frustrated with the people that you work around because they're just bad folks sometimes? They don't know Christ. They talk bad. They act bad. They brag about their wickedness. And you're thinking, man, Lord, if I didn't have to come to work, I wouldn't come. And you get all discouraged. But you get to come to church and be around other brothers and sisters in Christ that's gone through the same things you've gone through during the week. And you can get together and say, man, I've been praying this week, and God has given me strength over this. What are you doing this week? Can we get together and pray? Can we just have some fellowship together? And you know what? We need to find some folks. Listen, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's encourage one another. Listen, that's why we go to church. We come for that encouragement. We come to get strength from the Word of God. We come to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen, this is our family. This is our church family. And we want to enjoy that time together. But number five, we've got to realize that when we choose to disobey God's commands and do our own thing instead of doing what God says do and following His plan for our lives, God disciplines and He chastens His children. God disciplines and He chastens His children. How many of you love your children today? You love them? Did you ever have to chasten them? You bunch of wicked people. You don't love your children. You beat your children. Oh, my goodness. I heard that. I remember one morning we were in church, and Stephen was just under two, I think. He was just over two because he couldn't stay in the nursery now. Once they reached 24 months, they couldn't stay in the nursery. They had to stay with their parents. And so we'd always bring them Cheerios and little Bible coloring books. They had Bible stories in them. We'd bring them some crayons and some things like that, some juice that they could drink on there. And we'd bring them in the service, and we would make sure that they were listening, you know, and then they would be coloring pictures and things like that. Well, one day, Stephen just wouldn't be quiet. He would not be quiet. And I said, "Honey, be quiet. Daddy's going to take you out." And he sticks that pacifier in his mouth, and he's just yakking away and everything like that. And I popped him on the leg just a little bit, and I said, "Be quiet. Pastor's preaching. Be quiet." Oh, he just kept up doing it and everything. I picked him up. I put him up in my arms and I said, "Excuse me, folks. I'm sitting in the pew. I'm taking him out." And he pulls that pacifier out and he said, "Somebody help me, help me. My daddy's going to beat me. Help me, help me." Well, that did not help me, let me tell you. I'm going out and I'm embarrassed and everybody's looking. "Oh, that's the associate pastor. He's going to beat his child." I took him down to the bathroom. Oh, my soul. We had some dealings that day. Listen to me. Every once in a while, you have to chasten your children. Okay? But listen, when God chastens you, understand He chastens you because He loves you enough to do it. Listen, Job said this. He said, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." When God chastens you, you know what He's telling you? You know what He's saying to you? He's looking at you and He's saying, "You belong to me. And I want you to act like me." Hey, listen, God's not going to chasten those that don't belong to Him. You know, sin's going to do that for them. The devil's going to do that. God chastens His own children. I want you to understand, you've got to understand God chastens when we don't do right. But then lastly, we have to come to realize that we need to develop and strengthen our ability to discern good from evil. And that only comes through our consistent studying of the Word of God. Paul wrote, I believe it was Paul, in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, he said, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And you're become such as have had You are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Why is it today that so-called Christians cannot discern right from wrong? Amen. Why can they not discern it? because they're not in the Word of God. They're not getting the spiritual soul food. Okay, down south we had soul food. Okay? But this Word of God is your spiritual soul food today. And if you don't get in the Word, the devil will take its place. And he'll have all kinds of things there to distract you. And that's why he said here in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4, 1 Timothy, "For this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God." Now let's stop right there a minute. When's the last time that you had to suffer reproach because you showed somebody that you were trusting in God instead of doing what the world says do? Listen, not many folks today want to suffer anything. We're used to living in complacency. Just don't bother me, and I won't bother you type thing. Folks, we need to stand for the truth, and we need to get in the truth in order to stand. How do you do that? Well, we need the number two in our list here, and I'm not going to be able to finish it today. But we need to live consistently. Let me give you this Bible verse and then we're going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Paul wrote this. He said, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." And you know what? Each of us are preachers of the gospel. We are proclaimers of the gospel. That's why it's important that we live what we say we believe. Folks, when we come back next Sunday, I'll finish the rest of this lesson and try to help you with it. But there's a profile here for Christians to have a healthy spiritual life, to be victorious in the Lord Jesus. We need to get involved in the Word of God. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I do love you and I thank you, God, for this Bible lesson today. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to live a healthy spiritual life. Lord, none of us is perfect. And Lord, each of us must learn to stay in the Word of God and to allow the Word of God to help us to face the issues of this day, to face the temptations that come our way. Lord, we can only do that, Lord, if we're strong in the Word of God. Help us, Lord, today to determine that we're going to be a good Christian by taking heed to the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless this lesson. Lord, if there be someone today that's not saved in this class, I pray, God, that you'll draw them unto you. Help them, Lord, to see their need of a Savior. And when the invitation is given at church, Lord, they'll come forward and be saved. Lord, thank you for loving us, giving us the opportunity to love you back in our lives for you. Bless us now as we go into church service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you. Thank you for being in class today.